Just want to comment on the devotional as well as the children's class. Thank you to those of you who brought those lessons. So we have Christmas this week. Going to not necessarily bring completely a message relating to the birth of Christ, but we'll at least start there. So you can turn to the book of Isaiah, and we'll begin in chapter 7. And we'll read verse 14, Isaiah 7, verse 14 to begin. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah has several prophecies of the coming birth of the Messiah, this being one of them. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. If we turn over to chapter 9, we have some more. Chapter 9, verse 6 and 7 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." These are just two scriptures that we find in the Old Testament relating to the coming of the Messiah. And there's obviously many more that could be looked at. But these are verses that Israel paid attention to, I think, maybe not as much as they should have. At least when he came, they didn't seem to connect the dots, or else they didn't want to connect the dots. Likely it was a fair bit of that, which is unfortunate. They were told, they were given enough that if they had their eyes open and were listening and were attentive, they had enough of information that they could discern when he actually came. And a few did, but the majority, for whatever reason, rejected. And I don't quite understand, other than the pressure of culture can be pretty incredible, because, yeah, they weren't naive, they weren't ignorant, they knew who they had on their hands, but he just didn't fit their box. And they destroyed him to their own hurt. So those are the prophecies, just a few of them. A virgin will conceive, unto us a child is given. Going to go to Luke chapter 1, pick up in the New Testament. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And I'm just going to read this rendition of the birth of Christ, beginning in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. A virgin will conceive and bring forth a son. Here we have the story of this account happening when the angel came and broke the news to Mary that she is actually the one that God has chosen for this ministry of bearing the Son of God. I've got to turn back to Matthew and get the same story from Joseph's perspective. And again, we're in Matthew chapter 1. And we'll pick up on verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So there we have the two Matthew and Luke's account of the birth, or the situation that surrounded the birth of Christ, prophesied in the Old Testament, happened just the way it was prophesied. Is scripture here in Matthew 1:23, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Exactly what we read in Isaiah. And just quoting two verses here from Isaiah 53, For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. Basically, a young child growing up in a very unassuming way. There's nothing about him that is going to uniquely stand out that he's so different. As far as his stature in all of that, he's going to look like one of us. So much so that it was hard for Israel to accept it. They obviously wanted something that brings a little more pomp and show, perhaps. So unto us a child is born. I've titled the message, Unto Us a Child is Born. That's a bit of the, just a brief reflection on the, first off, the prophecy of the birth, the fulfillment of the birth of Jesus. But I'd like to then go on and continue the message in Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28. And just take a little bit of a different shift in the content. Familiar verses to us, Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, words of Jesus, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we talked about the birth of Jesus and just reflected on it a bit, but now we'd like to think about what Jesus actually offers us in these scriptures. There are a multitude of scriptures we could look at, but I've chosen these to just consider this morning. So the first, and we're just going to go down through here and kind of look at different of the basically the words or the concepts that are given in these verses. And the first one is simply the word come, the very first word in that verse 28, come. Come unto me, the invitation to come. You know, if someone welcomes you and says, hey, come on in, you like that, right? You know, it makes you feel at home. It makes you feel like you're welcome. It makes you feel like the person wanted to see you. Naboth didn't do so well with David's men, did he? Come on in. Yes, we've got plenty. That would have been a very different note. And rather than, who are you? Get out of here, you know, kind of thing. Jesus, he's much more a Abigail. In that story, showed the character of Christ, while Naboth obviously showed the character of darkness and selfishness and Satan. Come. The invitation is open to everyone and anyone. Come. 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 There's various scriptures that extend an invitation to us as humanity. Reading a few, in John 7, 37 and 38, in the last great day, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And also in John 6, 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. What a blessed promise. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I will never handle someone like Naboth did. I will welcome you. I will receive you. I will invite you into my presence. There is no fear of rejection with Jesus. He says, come. It's an invitation. Come. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 19 to verse 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near, and also having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in to the presence of the holiest. Invitations, as the Hebrew writer gives it, having boldness to be able to come without fear, be able to come without shame, be able to come into the presence of God because of the blood that is on the mercy seat. Let us draw near. Let us come to God with a true heart. Let's respond to the invitation. And we have the scripture in Luke 11, which is familiar to us. It's the friend coming at midnight. Jesus uses that as an example to instruct us about how we come to God. The friend coming at midnight because some guests came to his house and he didn't have what he needed to feed them and meet their needs. And so he went running to the neighbors and beat on the door at midnight. And I need some of this and I need some of that. I got friends that came. Uses that example to teach us about how we are to come to God in our time of need. And not just in our time of need, but especially in our time of need, that we are to come. We're not to consider what time it is and whether our neighbor is asleep or not, or whether we're a disturbance. We're never a disturbance with God. We're never a problem with God. We are invited to come, and to come at any time, at any moment, at any whenever there is a need, and whatever that need is, we are invited to come. So come. Jesus in the scriptures, so many different examples of and so many different ways of communicating that truth, so that we, as his people, we don't need to wonder whether we are welcome, whether we are accepted, whether we can come into his presence, whether we can come at any time. So many scriptures that communicate that truth, that it leaves us without doubt that we're to come. And we're to come whenever we have a need, and we're to come whenever we sense our need of him, and which should be most of the time or all the time, but come. So the second word then we'd like to look at in that text there in Matthew 11, and I'm just going to turn back to that. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. So we're the invitation is to come, and the invitation is to bring, and I'm highlighting on these words, maybe I'll write them on the board. So the first word was come. The next one is bring. We're to bring our burdens and our cares. So we're to come, and we're supposed to bring something. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. So, obviously, while the word bring isn't in the context, the concept is there. Come with those things. Come with those burdens. Bring them to Jesus. That's the concept that we have there. The load that we're carrying. And that can be different things for different of us. And it can be different things in different points in our lives. And it could be a different thing today than and tomorrow than what it is today. But whatever that is, and may I say whether, however great or however small that burden is, that need is, that whatever we're facing, we are invited to bring it to Jesus. It could just be as simple as an overwhelming responsibility that we face, and we need His help and His guidance and His grace. It could be a besetting sin that we're struggling with, and He invites us to come and lay that burden at His feet and find victory and grace and help in time of need. We're to come and we're to bring it to Him. Could be a relationship struggle that we're facing, whether it's in our home or at work or in our family and our neighbors, just a variety of situations and circumstances. You know, you fill in the gap. You might have thought of 10 others I didn't think about, but burdens, needs that we carry in life, and He invites us to come to Him with those, to make them known, to bring them to Him. Maybe someone has treated us unkindly, and we're struggling to respond the way we know we should. We can come to Him, and He'll help us. So He invites us to come and to bring our burdens, our cares, our needs, our struggles, whatever it is. There's nothing, again, nothing too big and nothing too small for Jesus. And nothing too insignificant in our lives that He doesn't care about us and want us to come to Him. So we have the word come, we have the word bring, and then the next word is take. Take my yoke upon you. Come, bring, and take. So you won't go home empty-handed. You come, you give Him your problems, give Him your burdens, let them there, and then you head out, but you're taking something with you. Take. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. We're familiar with a yoke, most of us, I think, where you have a piece of wood generally that fits over two oxen or horses or mules or whatever you want to put there. And it harnesses the two together, and they can then pull the load together. Both of them putting their strength into it, and they pull the load together. And Jesus invites us, each of us, to individually come to Him and enter into a yoke with Him as the partner in this race of life, to take His yoke upon us. Maybe I'll just read the definition that I've written down here. A yoke is a wooden cross piece that is fastened over the neck of two animals and attached to the plow or cart that they are to pull. You know, Jesus, in inviting us to take His yoke or to enter into the yoke with Him, He does not impose Himself upon us. He does not force us. He does not. He invites us. He asks us to take His yoke, to enter into the yoke with Him, but He does not force us. And if we don't want to, then that's up to us. We're then left to carry our own load, pull our own plow, pull our own cart all by ourselves. If we refuse the yoke of Christ in our lives. He is there. He is available. He is willing. But we have to make the move. We have to Enter into the yoke with him. Jesus says in John 15, verse 4, he says, "Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me." So true. You know, and that abiding, you know, in the yoke with him, staying close by him, doing life with him, abide in him. We can't do it on our own. Oh, there'll be some things happened if we're doing it on our own. There'll be some noise. There'll be some shaking. There'll be some of this and some of that. But when it comes to ever eternal fruit, eternal realities, eternal, we won't do it without Jesus. And we won't have any abiding, remaining fruit in the end if we're doing it without Jesus. So to abide in Jesus is to remain in the yoke with him. He carries the load with us. We don't have to do it on our own any longer. We have all his resources available to us. And we're not left to just have our own resources and our own strength and our own whatevers. We have his and him to share the load together. The load is shared and the task is divided between us. So we have the invitation to come, we have the invitation to bring, and we have the invitation to take his yoke upon us, to enter into the yoke with him. And then the next thing that we have there is we have the invitation to learn. He says, "Learn of me." Come, bring, take, learn. I think we were maybe in the devotional, we're thinking about that a little bit, of learning how to walk with Christ and do life his way. Learn of me. You know, his ways are so very different than that of humanity, normal, natural humanity. His ways are so very different. We are invited to learn of him. Several scriptures speak to this. In Ephesians 4, verse 20 and 21, "But ye have not so learned Christ." Learn of me. "Ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." So we learn, we're ever learning, learning to do life the way Jesus would have us to do it. In Philippians, actually let me read this verse first, in John 13, verse 15, Jesus says this, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." You know, Jesus not only taught us how to live, he demonstrated it in his own life. What kingdom life looks like and what life looks like when one is walking in the Spirit. He demonstrated it to us. And we have the challenge of ever learning and learning to understand what is kingdom life, Christ-like responses in life, Christ purposes and motivations and so forth. Is an ever, ever learning. Philippians 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus." Just taking those verses and zeroing in on learning of him. "Let this mind be in you which was also in him." We learn of him. There's a lot of things that Jesus taught us and demonstrated. Things like returning good when someone for evil, when doing good to someone who treated us badly. Turning the other cheek. They smite us on one cheek, turn the other. Go the second mile. You're compelled to go a mile, go a second mile. Go further than you're asked to go. Here's a scripture we could turn to, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm going to break in verse 21 to 23. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Prove all things, test all things. You know, learn of me. You know, learning is a lifetime experience. Test all things. Is this Christ honoring? Is this the way? Does this promote kingdom life? Is this something that will enhance my relationship with the Lord, or will it draw me away from Christ? And just a variety of questions that we could ask ourselves about many, many things in life, and especially in this time and generation where there is so much other clutter offered, much more than there probably would have been at one time. So many other things to distract us, so many more decisions to make. I think I'm honest, or I can say that. There's just so many more decisions to make. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. You know, sometimes, you know, as you prove for yourself in your life what is useful and helpful in your relationship with Christ, and you're continuing to walk with Christ, sometimes you might have to say no to things that other people can say yes to. Because for you, it becomes a hindrance and a stumbling block, where someone else, it doesn't faze them. But if you want to walk with Christ, you have to make those hard decisions. You have to learn of Him. You have to learn what works for you. There may be things like that, in other words, as you test all things. And you hold fast to that which is good, and you shun the evil. That's part of learning to know Jesus and to walk with Him. It's not a matter always of doing what everyone else does, because you are you, and you need to run successfully. You need to run victoriously, and if you need to say no to something that someone else has no qualm with, doesn't trip them up, but it does you, then you need to say no. You need to. It is proven to be a stumbling block to you. You need to say no. Irregardless of how many other people, it doesn't faze them, doesn't cause them to stumble. Learn of me. Ephesians 5, verse 3. Says this, I'll read verse 3 to 5 first. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, nor filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Learn of Him. Simple words, easy to understand. Learn of Him. These are things that are not a part of His kingdom. Sins that will actually bar us from His kingdom if they're a habitual part of our lives. But then he goes down, if we drop down to verse 8, he says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Again, that idea of testing and determining what is acceptable unto the Lord. You were darkness, but now you're walking in light. Walk as children of light. And prove, test, demonstrate, accept after testing the things that are pleasing to God. So learning of Him, it's a lifetime commitment to learn of Jesus, to learn of His ways, to learn of how to walk with Him and to honor Him and to have His priorities, His kingdom, and His church and such as our focus and burden and goals in life. Learn of Him. And then the next word that we like to look at is found in the end of verse 29. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So the next word is rest. So we come, we bring, we take, we learn, and the results are rest. Rest for our souls. You know, life will still have challenges. There will still be difficulties to navigate, but you won't need to navigate them alone. And He promises rest to your soul. Another word or another way would simply be peace. If we approach life from this perspective, we can pretty much be assured that if we are effective in these four here, the results are predictable. We will have rest in our hearts, rest in our souls. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, that those two verses basically, in a nutshell, say everything that we were talking about. Be careful for nothing, don't be anxious, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let God know what's going on in your life. Bring Him up to date, tell Him what's happening, tell Him what you're carrying. And the results are that you'll find peace. And a peace that is beyond your human understanding. And that is a blessing. You know, you've probably seen it. You maybe experienced it in your own life, or you've seen it in someone else's life. They were facing tremendous difficulties, maybe tremendous hardships, and there was a peace, just a steady peace. And you sometimes marvel at it, and you wonder how. This is how. A peace that passes all understanding. God Himself providing that peace. Romans 15, verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So the invitation is to receive the rest that He offers us. And He does want it for us. You know, it's Jesus, God, Jesus, are not interested in keeping us hanging in a place of misery. He wants us to experience rest. He wants us to enter into the yoke with Him so that we can experience that rest. He has it for us. He wants us to live in its reality. We don't always. I don't always. I have those moments and those times where I need to wrestle through until I can bring things to God and let go and have Him come through to my heart and minister to my needs. But He wants it for us. We are invited to receive that rest that He provides for us. So those are the 5 points that I'd like to simply bring our attention to as we think about the birth of Jesus. We want to think beyond just the fact that he was a baby that was born in a manger and all the nice things that people kind of put on this time of the year, but we want to think about what he actually did for us. So come, just as you are. Bring your burdens. And cares. Take his yoke upon you in your life. Learn of him. And receive his rest. If this Christmas season is all about food, fellowship, and family gatherings, then maybe we're missing something. But if it's about coming to Jesus, bringing our burdens and our cares, taking his yoke upon us, learning of him, and receiving the peace that passes all understanding that he offers us, then we have entered into the purpose of his coming. Praise God. Kneel with me if you're able, and we will close with prayer. Father, again we say thank you. Thank you for sending your son Jesus, for loving us so much that you were willing to send your son, that he might give his life a ransom for many, and that through him we can have new life, new hope, new purpose. We can have peace. Thank you, Lord. In this time when we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we pray that humanity would go beyond the birth. They would consider what Jesus really did come for, and that they would enter into the reality of a life surrendered to Christ. Lord, we pray, may your kingdom come, may your will be done in earth, even as it is in heaven. We realize that you have a plan, you have a design. We ask, Father, that that plan and design would continue to be fulfilled in this earth, in this world, as long as time remains. May we enter into that plan, Lord. May we yield ourselves to you for that purpose. May we walk with you for that purpose, Lord. May we honor you with our lives. So thank you again. Bless each one present here, and those who may have had a desire to be here and are not able, bless them as well. I also again want to pray and ask a blessing of healing on Brother Mose and his sickness. Father and his family, bless them. Raise him up again, Lord. And Father, as each of us, as we consider our relationship with you, grant us the grace to enter into these few truths that we've looked at again this morning, that we could have that clear walk with you and could be living in the presence of peace, Lord, that comes from you. So thank you, Lord. We bless you, and again, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.